Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive, and a happy Friday to you, no matter where you are. Dan Peck, I'm here in the WOW Business Studio, where we're getting things underway here on Friday. Bill Cameron will be joining us shortly. I'm sure he'll have a wild tale of what delayed him from the start of today's show. But we'll hear from Bill in just a moment. He's on his way. Did want to let you know that the Drive is presented by Kia of Auburn. The first hour of The Drive presented by Kia of Auburn and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn on South College, where you're always number one. And we're here in the WOW Business Studio. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. And yeah, busy day in sports. The Final Four tomorrow. We will know the participants in Monday night's NCAA National Championship game, first time since 2019 that we've enjoyed a Final Four and a National Championship game.
That seems like forever.
Well, it doesn't.
I know. We didn't have one last year.
Auburn played in one of the most recent Final Four games, as a matter of fact. So
Auburn wasn't the last Final Four.
The last time there was a Final Four, Auburn was in it, which tells you, and the College World Series as well, which tells you about how long ago it's been since we had those things.
Seems like a lot longer ago than 2 years, doesn't it?
You know, but it didn't seem as long ago as it maybe did yesterday for the Auburn baseball team. Because after you go to Arkansas and you get a win like that, suddenly everything's a little bit different, right? The food tastes a little bit better today after starting the conference 0-6 and then going to Fayetteville and winning the first game of the series. And with that, we'll welcome Bill Cameron into the show.
I think I was at an impromptu Easter parade.
Okay.
That's what it felt like.
Impromptu.
Just sort of a...
Did everyone else know they were in
like
it too?
Like a flash parade.
All right.
That sounds bad.
Right.
I get terrible,
in the spirit of Easter.
I get a terrible picture of that. But no, I mean, it was just like no matter which way I went, you know how it is. Like when you're in a hurry to get somewhere and you see checkout lanes and you decide to pick one, it's always the one that is the slowest.
Is your theory that people are leaving town right now to go see their families for Easter, or people are coming to Auburn maybe from other places? You know what
yes.
I mean? Like there's
okay. I think the answer is yes. No, I think a lot of folks are leaving town. And of course, I mean it's school out time. It's a combination of
it's
everything.
The weekend.
So,
it's
so
the
yeah,
weekend.
I apologize for being. I thought I'd pull a Dan. I thought I'd step in the door right as the intro wrapped up. But no, I got behind another vehicle. But here we are. I heard you give the WOW. Did you mention who our sponsors are?
I mentioned WOW, and I mentioned Kia.
Kia. All right, and of course the Kia of Auburn hotline. We're going to go to the Kia of Auburn hotline in about a half an hour and call in Sonny Smith. Man, there's a lot to be talking about with Sonny. The Final Four you mentioned. We'll talk about the North Carolina job, his thoughts on Chris Beard from Texas Tech to Texas, and the official news today, Sharif Cooper is a one and done.
Right, and not totally unexpected, but there was some speculation that his decision, could go either way. But yeah, it seems like doubt was eliminated earlier today as Auburn's freshman point guard Sharif Cooper announced his intention of staying in the 2021 NBA draft
and hiring
his agent and beginning his professional career.
Mm-hmm. So good luck to Sharif. And I know there's some, as a matter of fact, I've had a couple of people that said, oh, no, now what? It's like, well, now what we've been talking about. Now, I don't think that Bruce Pearl and his staff are unprepared for this, or the possibility that JT Thor doesn't come back. I think that's why you've been hearing Auburn mentioned with just about every player in the transfer portal and quite a few of the top uncommitted recruits that are out there. And as a matter of fact, with some committed recruits.
Yeah, we discussed this yesterday with Justin Ferguson, as a matter of fact, from the Auburn Observer, who said, I mean, I asked him if... I asked him if there was a pretty good chance that you look at next year's Auburn team, you know, could three or four of the top players in minutes played on next year's Auburn team be players who aren't on the roster right now? And in most years that would, in the past, that would have given you a lot of pause, right?
Sure.
That it's, you know, the Final Four is about to start and you really, you don't know who next year's team, you know, some of the key pieces of next year's team. That's college basketball now, right? I mean, that's every team in the Final Four has an important transfer playing big minutes. Some of them have, I mean, you look at Davion Mitchell and Johnny Juzang and Andrew Nembhard. I mean, these are some of the best players on their teams that were transfers who started their college careers somewhere else. So, I mean, it's a setback. It's not totally unexpected. I mean, Sharif Cooper, when you're discussed as a top 25, top 20, or even better than that, according to some people, NBA draft prospect, it's tough to forego that and bet on yourself and give it another year. You know, NBA, that's serious money that you're turning down. And it's the beginning of Sharif Cooper's pro career, and it's the beginning of a different era for Auburn basketball after the 1 year Sharif era that you got this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, next year,
1 year an era.
I don't know. Does an era need to have?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's a time limit on it.
I don't either. You just don't usually hear 1 year
right
described as an era.
Well, it was, and it wasn't even a year. It started.
What was it? 12 games.
Yeah, he showed up in January. He missed
the first few and the last few.
He got on the court
nearly the first half
on the court in January. Yeah, so right. So Auburn's going to have to go in a different direction with the next point guard, knowing that Sharif Cooper is staying in the NBA draft.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Sonny Smith about that. We'd love your calls, questions, comments about that. What do you think about the Final Four? As Dan mentioned, yes, a big win for Auburn baseball. They've been close. They've been really close. One of the things that's been a big problem for them has been the bullpen. And last night, with the return of Jack Owen to the weekend rotation, Mason Barnett able to slide back into the closer role, Carson Skipper comes back. They, for the third straight SEC weekend, got a great performance from Cody Greenhill as he went out and seven innings, one run ball. And then Carson Skipper comes in, pitches the eighth, and Mason Barnett closes it out in the ninth. And the Tigers win it 2-1, snapping Arkansas's 8-game conference winning streak and Auburn's 6-game conference losing streak.
Yeah.
Not 8-game, 5-game.
5-game win streak for Arkansas. Yeah, they lost that opener to Alabama. They've been great in the five SEC games since then. And yeah, Auburn went out there with some of the pitchers that people thought going into the season could really make Auburn a dangerous team on the first day of SEC playoff or SEC series action, right? I mean, Cody and then being able to turn to eventually Mason in the bullpen, but they got Carson Skipper as well. I mean, being able to use those arms on a Friday is something that Butch Thompson thought he would have all year long, right? And it was really, I mean, this was one of the first times it had sort of gone according to plan, and the pitchers end up being a huge part of Auburn's win there in Arkansas. Now they've got the chance to escape Fayetteville they know they're not going to get swept.
Oh no, no,
and they've got a chance to win the series.
Absolutely. Now you do anything you can. You pretty much pull out all stops tonight and tomorrow to see if you can win a series. If you can win a series at Arkansas, then you're back on track. I mean, and that's what we were talking about yesterday. You just need to make sure you don't get swept. Winning Friday is great. Now the pressure is on Arkansas, and you know, Auburn can play it in so many different ways. So that's coming up this evening. Not so good news for softball today, as Auburn continues to struggle to hit the ball, as Arkansas wins their second straight game over the Auburn Tigers. 3-0, a blanking by Autumn Storms of Arkansas.
That's right.
The All-American pitcher for Arkansas, Drew. I was giving you a little heads up there, some stats there for Autumn Storms, who shut out Auburn on 4 hits today, and the Tigers now fall to 1-7 in conference play, while Arkansas is unbeaten in conference.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the country, and they've certainly played like it this weekend against Auburn.
334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to the drive here on this Friday. Again, we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Final Four, anything on your mind sports-wise. Be really interesting now that we know that Sharif will not be back. What do you think is the next step for Bruce Pearl and the Auburn staff? Do they go ahead and get another transfer right now? Does Scoot Henderson? Do you think he reclassifies?
Would you think that Scoot Henderson would be the first domino now?
Interesting. That's what I'm wondering. I wouldn't be surprised if he were part of the plan. I mean, that doesn't mean it's...
I guess, but at point guard, would you rather have a veteran presence rather than a guy who reclassified, right? And should be a senior in high school. I honestly don't know. I mean, I think I could see if they think Scoot Henderson's the best option and he wants to reclassify, I imagine the door would be open.
Well,
but I could also see why Bruce Pearl would want to go bring in someone who's been more battle tested in college basketball.
And you know, it's funny. I mean, like I said, I've had a couple of people this is terrible news. And sure, you're never excited when a superstar, a potential superstar, leaves your program. But one way to look at this is the more players, the more one and dones that you have, the more it is noticed by other potential stars and superstars. And this sure doesn't hurt Bruce Pearl and Auburn's ability to go out and continue recruiting players that are right at the top of the list nationally.
Right, and we've heard, I mean, with the transfer portal, you don't want to fixate on any one individual player because there are so many possibilities,
right.
So many schools. You don't know what's being done behind the scenes, who's actually interested in what players. We've heard the Missouri guard, Xavier Pinson, talked about as a potential candidate for Auburn, and that seems like it would make sense just based on not only the young man's skill set, but also the fact that he played a very big role on an SEC team this year, and if he wants to stay in the league, Auburn could potentially offer him a landing spot. But that's one of how many players in the transfer portal, right? I mean, it's more you really want to paint with broad strokes when you talk about the transfer portal. It's not Auburn needs to go out and get this specific point guard.
They need to fill this need.
Yes, and there are.
There are multiple ways to do it because another name we haven't mentioned today that we've talked about before is Ty Washington, the former Creighton commit who from Chandler, Arizona, who we've seen multiple reports in the last 24 hours that Auburn, the leader over Gonzaga and UCLA, among others.
Yeah, and that would be a big addition, the more conventional way of recruiting, right? That would be a big addition from the high school ranks. That would be a player that you could get who could give you a boost and provide. I mean, and
he's one of 5 finalists for the I believe the Max Preps Player of the Year.
There are so many different ways to bring talent into a team now, and you know, this is and what I think it's going to do over the next few years is, and it's not like college basketball fans at big time programs were already like known for their patience, but now there's no excuse to be bad 2 years in a row.
Well, there shouldn't be, but is every one of these young potential stars gonna blossom immediately?
No.
I mean, ask Kentucky this year.
But no, absolutely. But if and it's going to happen where you're going to bring in a bunch of players and maybe it doesn't work out.
Right.
But what can't happen then is you can't
doesn't
strike
need to happen back to back.
You can't strike out again a year later.
That's right.
And there, you know, in the past, people understood, oh, well, we showed up and the talent level wasn't there, and it took several years of recruiting to change that. And now in college basketball, it shouldn't. If you're truly the genius coach people say you are, and I'm not talking about any one coach in particular, but it's now it's to a point where you have the means to bring in a completely different roster. Experienced players, freshman players, everything. And I think that's going to erode what patience there already was with fans. Like you're now it's realistic to expect an overnight turnaround for your college basketball program. Now because you have the ability to bring in a completely different team a year later, I think there are going to be folks thinking, well, yeah, I mean, we struggled to finish. We were near the bottom of the league this year, but wait till you see all the new players right. We're bringing in next year. I think that's going to be the attitude, and it's probably going to lead to a lot of disappointed fans
they've got to be. Everybody can't be happy.
That's right.
No, you're right about that.
But Auburn will certainly be among the teams out there looking to make a very big splash, bringing new players in now that they know. What do you think of JT Thor? Do you think he's played his last game?
Yeah, I do.
And that's one that I think does sort of surprise me a little bit. But
well, I mean, a couple of the things that have been talked about is the family could really use the help. Yep.
And if there's an option to play professionally,
right?
I mean,
whether it's in the NBA or overseas, whatever, or the G League, that's something you haven't thought about. I mean, people hadn't mentioned, but I was thinking about this. I mean, if he gets the opportunity to make $500,000 or something, or a couple of $100,000 in the G League and build himself up
and retain his draft eligibility for a subsequent year, if he wanted to go to the G League instead of the NBA draft,
right,
and spend a year in the G League developing into an NBA prospect, it would. I mean, I could see how that would be an appealing option. Especially if the paycheck from the G League would go a long way,
right? So that's something to think about. A lot going on, a couple of things we haven't even got to. We'll talk about as we move on here this afternoon. The Major League All-Star Game moving out of Atlanta, let's see, what was the other thing I wanted? Oh, we've already gotten our next couple of weeks of media availability as Auburn football practice resumes on Monday.
Yeah, how about that? We're going to talk to all 8 position coaches.
Yeah, that's great.
Next week
in
the Auburn football team, four on Monday and 4 on Wednesday, and that's some really exciting stuff. I don't think we've gotten a chance to talk to any of them since Brian Harsin was hired. First media availability for all 8 of the not the coordinators already spoke to the media. These are the other 8 position coaches on the Auburn football team. They will all have media availability on Monday or Wednesday of next week. That's an exciting development.
So we'll talk about that and more. And, of course, take your calls, 334-321-1390. Just underway here on the Friday Drive.
You're live on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio, taking your calls, questions, comments, 334-321-1390. As Dan said, we're going to get an opportunity to spend some time with all of the Auburn football assistant coaches Monday. We get Brad Bedell, Will Friend, Cadillac Williams, and Cornelius Williams get the offensive coaches on Monday. Defensive coaches Wednesday, Nick Eason, Zach Etheridge, Jeff Schmetting, and Burt Watts.
Anybody you're really excited to talk to from the offensive group?
You know, I keep hearing great things about Brad Bedell. I do, about the players, how they just absolutely love him. But I want to, I'm looking forward to hearing from Will Friend. Obviously, because that's the position where everybody's, you know, wondering, does Auburn have a left tackle on campus? How's the offensive line shaping up? And Cornelius Williams has some rave reviews. Remember, Jake Crane has raved about him.
If you know about a left tackle on campus, Will Friend would love to.
Will Friend will tell us how things are going there at left tackle.
Absolutely, and Cornelius Williams. Yeah, I've heard rave reviews about him as well. And that's a position where, I mean, it's different.
I don't care about talking with Cadillac. Cadillac. It's great to talk to Cadillac, but sort of got a known commodity there as his main guy.
We've
talked to Cornell.
There's not a ton of intrigue at the depth chart for Cadillac's position. I mean, we know the starter and we sort of understand what's going on behind him on the depth chart at the moment. And that's not to say that not to take talking to Cadillac Williams for granted, because yeah, it's great to get a chance to talk to him as well. But with Cornelius, like, if you look at what
these are guys we haven't talked to.
It's our first chance ever to talk to these guys, but also Will Friend is having to sort out, you know, with eight or nine guys with playing experience, which one of them or which five of them should be the starting offensive line. Cornelius Williams has been handed a group with
hardly any experience.
Yeah, with very few snaps. I mean, he's trying to figure out, you know, who his two or three best guys. And he doesn't even have, like, Will Friend. I'd be interested to know, and this could be a question for Will Friend on Monday, I'd be interested to know how much he's paying attention to last year's film of these guys versus what he's seeing right now in front of him, right? Like, how instructive is last season when evaluating these offensive linemen? Because in the case of Cornelius Williams, it's probably not helpful at all, because the guys that Cornelius Williams is evaluating weren't on the field.
No.
I mean, he
can watch high school film.
He can watch high school film, but he can't watch the Auburn offense last year and really understand anything about his receivers, because the receivers that you're going to watch, if you watch last year's Auburn team are in the NFL draft. And at offensive line, there is at least the same people are coming back. You know, maybe they won't be the exact same players they were last year, but the same people at receiver. I mean, this is a totally different group of people, and it's a group that hasn't played very much. And I'm fascinated to know what Cornelius Williams is doing to get them up to speed and up to snuff.
334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to the drive. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Again, we'll talk with Sonny Smith here in a few minutes and get his thoughts on the Final Four and Auburn basketball. And I would imagine that any former coach is probably, I don't know if glad is the right word, maybe relieved that they didn't have to deal with the change and the constant roster management that is now a part of college sports.
You know, when I'm trying to think who was it that got a job this year, and they said, maybe it was Orgeron. Orgeron, after the season, talked about how re-recruiting unhappy young players was a new aspect of this job that wasn't so prevalent before. And I have to imagine looking at the transfer portal in basketball,
it's even more in basketball.
Even
though you have fewer players,
it is year to year. Single player on the team, it is a situation where if they want to leave, they're probably going to leave. And if you're a coach and you want them to leave, maybe you can't, you know, maybe you don't go so far as to cut them from the team and pull the scholarship or something, but they're probably going to end up in the transfer portal if you don't want them back.
Well, remember how big a deal it was just a few years ago when colleges started making sure that everyone knew they were offering four-year scholarships because they were accused of, you know, not caring enough about the players and cutting the players. There's no way it can, it's got now, hey, it's got to cut both ways. I mean, there's no way you can be, oh, I'm guaranteeing you a four-year deal if you're not guaranteeing me a term in school.
Well, I mean, I think that if you, I don't know. I don't know if we're getting to a point where it's going to be acceptable to cut a player after a year, just pull their scholarship and cut them. Like, I don't know if we're getting. Maybe.
I don't see why not now. Yeah, I really don't.
Maybe. I mean,
if players can be unhappy at practice and just enter the transfer portal and leave, then you know what's a coach going to do? You've got to guarantee that I'm going to keep this guy. Then all right, so you've got a player. Say you have a player that's never going to help you, and he doesn't care. Then what? Then what do? You're stuck with him? Stuck with him for 4 years?
Well, isn't that the belief now that you're stuck with him for 4 years in that situation?
Like,
I don't know.
I just wonder. I mean, how can it all be? It's like it's the way I've felt when it's been strikes in professional sports. I'm not always all players or all management. I'm like, okay, if you're gonna ask this, then the other side needs to expect that.
Yeah, I don't know if we're gonna get to a point where a scholarship can be like I think the transfer portal gives coaches that out. You know what I mean? Like I think that
you can't put somebody in the transfer portal.
But you can make it very clear that it would be in their best interest to get in the transfer portal.
Well, the thing is, I've known some guys. Maybe they weren't athletes, but I've known some guys that if there was no way they could lose their academic scholarship, no matter what, as long as keep a C out, you know, whatever. That they would go, okay, forget it. I'm gonna stay on the gravy train. I don't want to have to worry about going somewhere else.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Like I look at that and I think if that's the way it was done in college basketball, maybe it would stay that way. But I don't know if we're gonna move to a situation where it's gonna be acceptable for coaches to cut players and just pull their scholarship because they're not performing enough. Like I don't know if we're gonna get to that point. So you're gonna
grant free agency basically to players, but the teams can't keep the best players.
I think that's completely on the other side. Yeah,
man.
I think that's where we're going. I'm not saying that's the system I would use a magic wand and invent, but I do think that's seemingly where we're going, is that it's year to year, and maybe I don't know.
We'll ask Sonny about that when we come back. Sonny Smith joins us. We got a lot to talk about with him, and I always appreciate the opportunity to do so. So stick with us. We're just a quarter of the way done here on the Friday Drive.
Continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. A gorgeous Friday afternoon, a good Friday, and looks like a beautiful Easter weekend. If you're traveling this weekend, you know, be careful, but it looks like the weather is not going to be a problem. A little cooler, but that's the way it usually is, it seems, around Easter. And of course, we're on the eve of the Final Four, and no one better for us to spend a little time with. Doesn't matter. Hey, even if it's not basketball season, we love spending time with Hall of Famer Coach Sonny Smith, who we welcome in now. Sonny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hope you guys are.
Man, we're doing just fine. What a beautiful time of year. What a great time of year here with the Final Four coming up. And as crazy as the whole thing has been, you know, we nearly had 3-1s and a 2. UCLA, continued its amazing run here, but it's not like that's a team you've never heard of in the NCAA tournament either. So, what a fun Final Four it looks like.
It's going to be very competitive, I can tell you. I've only seen one of those teams in person. That's Gonzaga, and I'd have to say they're about as good as I've seen. I've watched Baylor a lot because of Davion Mitchell being a former Auburn guy, and it was fun to see his development. Just selected, I think, this year as a defensive player of the year in college basketball. And if you watch him closely, he earned it. You know, I've never seen a kid give more effort and be any quicker than a guy his size in a long time. That was fun to watch. I haven't watched UCLA play enough to comment on them, but boy, Mick Cronin has done a good job of getting them where they are. That's for sure. My next choice would be one I would like to win, but I don't believe that they will.
Yeah, it seems like both of the underdogs have a tall hill to climb tomorrow to prevent a Baylor Gonzaga championship game on Monday, and what a game if we get the Baylor Gonzaga game, what a game that would be, Coach. Mm-hmm. Not only because they've been the two best teams pretty consistently all year long.
Yeah.
But they're also led by maybe the two best coaches in college basketball right now, with all due respect to Bruce Pearl, maybe the two best coaches in college basketball right now without championships to their name in Mark Few and Scott Drew.
I was just talking to Dale Harris on the phone, and he's a close friend with the Baylor coach. Mm-hmm. And he said he had spent a lot of time with him in the last 2 years. Dale is very strong on zone defenses, and he said that this guy can disguise and change defenses as good as anybody that he's seen, and said he's getting to be extremely good with zone defenses. Well, I think he's probably going to have to end the Gonzaga game. He's going to have to be good with zones and changing of defenses. I don't think anybody can beat him just playing them straight up. I really don't. But I think those two, it's going to be one of those two that wins it all. And that's not saying anything bad about the other teams, actually.
No, I mean, it's just that the cream has shown throughout the tournament with even with all the upsets that we had seen. Sonny, there's so much going on around college basketball. Before we get to Auburn, I mean, big news yesterday. I was out of town and I heard the headlines, and I didn't know if it was April Fool's story or not. Well, both of them were April Fool's stories or the truth. Roy Williams stepping down at North Carolina, and Texas hiring Chris Beard from Texas Tech, and the AD there at Texas Tech not mincing words about another school in his own conference and his own state coming in and hiring him. That's a couple of big, big stories there in college basketball.
Well, it had to be total money. I probably have mentioned on your show before, we played Texas out there when I was at VCU. Tom Penders was the coach, and I swear there wasn't but 25 people in the stands when we played the game. And then I went back. I don't know what year that it was, but I spoke when Bob Wetlick was the coach there. Mm-hmm. To their banquet. And they couldn't get enough people to the banquet. Might have been because of me. They couldn't get enough people to the banquet without holding the women and men's banquet together.
Wow.
And that's how low basketball, and the arena's beautiful. And you would think that it'd be an easy build. And if you think back, Rick Barnes might be the last one that won. I don't know that that's right, but, and it should be a great, if you've ever been to Austin, you know what a great town that is. So it should be a great job, but it really hadn't turned out to be, for sure.
Yeah, Shaka Smart in his introductory press conference at Marquette even made a sort of a strange comment about the lack of fan support at the at Texas. He said he had a sellout streak when he left VCU, and he learned not to take a full arena for granted, which seemed to be a remark about how often the arena in Austin was empty. Chris Beard comes in having, I mean, he's worked miracles at Texas Tech,
and what he's,
I mean, that his climb from assistant at Texas Tech down into the ABA and junior college basketball and the Sun Belt at Little Rock before getting back into, like, his road to Texas head coach proves that there's no one way to get a job like this, because this guy, I mean, he's been everywhere at all kinds of levels to now be the head coach of the University of Texas.
And if anybody can probably bill him, he probably can. He's got a great history with high school players and junior college players, mm-hmm. as far as recruiting goes. And he knows the game extremely well. He's one of the better defensive coaches in the country by reputation. It's gonna take more than coaching on the floor to get them to win at Texas. You got to sell an item that hadn't been sellable for a long time. And you got a great city. You got a great arena to play in, and a guy that knows Texas basketball really well. I'd say that was a good hire, but I'd say they still got a ways to go. I don't know what Shaka left them with or anything like that, but I know Shaka is an excellent coach. I watched his team play when he's at VCU a couple of times, and I thought he did a capital job, especially defensive. His team would really get after you. And what I'm trying to say here, and taking a long time to do it, is it's going to take more than coaching on the floor to get it done in Texas. It's going to have to be done with a great recruiting job.
Absolutely. And the other big piece of basketball news yesterday, North Carolina, Roy yep. Williams retiring after 20 years at the helm at UNC, and now the search begins for the next coach at UNC. That's a place historically that has tended to be somewhat insular with its coaching searches. It really helps to be a Carolina guy or someone, you know, with direct ties to the university. And the candidates out there, people like Hubert Davis and Wes Miller, even Jerry Stackhouse has been mentioned. First things first, Coach, your thoughts on the news that Roy Williams is calling it a career in Chapel Hill.
I know Roy. I played against him as an assistant coach and as a head coach. You could see this year that Roy wasn't the old Roy. His movements was less. You listen to his press conferences, is a different Roy talking. And you can almost see that Roy felt like he was reaching the end of the line. And he has won so much there as assistant coach and a head coach that he probably knows that they're still not up to par as being the old North Carolina again. And I could see that he would get out this year. And the other thing I would say about Carolina, you can bet the ranch it'll be a Carolina guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the best Hubert Davis might be a bet the best call on that, because he's been associated with the program so long.
Yeah, I have to imagine if Roy Williams has some input over who his successor is going to be, Hubert Davis is, you know, left a good job at ESPN to be Roy's assistant for the last 8-9 seasons. You know, it could be a job he's earned.
You know, I was looking back on things and get your guys' opinion. I think if Jeff Lebo had stayed his course and had a little more success for the type of guy that he is, he would have been a perfect fit for them had he stayed in coaching.
I think you're right.
But now that he's out, I think he's out, isn't he? I don't think that he would be a candidate, but Davis is definitely going to be a large candidate for that job.
Yeah,
one of the best in the country, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you're absolutely right, Sonny. They haven't gone outside the family, since Dean was brought in. So that's 60 years ago. So
I was talking on the radio today, fellas, with a guy about our Carolina game and the tournament that they beat us and went on to win it. I think. We had a timeout for the last second shot. They had the ball. Mm-hmm. I drew the play up that they were going to run, and I told Gerald White they're going to back cut Kenny Smith. And I said, all you've got to do is stop that, and it'll kill the play, and they'll have to go one-on-one to beat us. And we got out there and lined up, and man for man, they ran the play exactly like they always do. They dribble away from Kenny, and then reverse dribble, come back, and he back cuts. Well, just as he back cut, Gerald White fell down. Kenny caught the ball and shot the ball up over Chuck Person or somebody that was coming across as a help side defender. We got beat on a play that we knew were coming and knew how to defend it, and Gerald White fell down.
And it comes so far back in that game.
Yeah, we did. Actually, it's a funny thing to me. One of the alums came up to me after the game and said, "Sonny, I don't know how you lost that game. You got a better team than they do." And I said, yeah, we're a little better than they are.
And both
centers were 7 foot. And Brad Daugherty being one of them.
And how incredible is it, Coach, that that Roy Williams' last game in the Sweet 16 at UNC was against Auburn 2 years ago, and you were there. You got to see it from the from courtside.
Sure, I did. Yeah, the thing about Roy is he always took players that fit the North Carolina system, and I didn't watch him enough this year to see if they were that kind of guy. But the Auburn kid on there that they had had a great career, and I was always checked their scores just to see if he did okay. And I'm hoping that he has a chance to. Would this have been Brooks' senior year?
Yeah, this was Garrison's senior year.
Yeah, he might be a pro prospect according to some of the things that I've heard. I just didn't see him play enough, but. That was a great steal for them coming out of Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
And his dad being assistant coach at Mississippi State.
Right. Speaking of Auburn, news from Auburn, it confirmed today Sharif is hiring an agent, and we'll go ahead and stick there in the NBA draft. And it's right now, it's questionable as to whether JT Thor is coming back. Things have changed. Boy, have times changed in college basketball where You can't expect to know next year's roster, even if you got a lot of underclassmen anymore.
Well, it's unbelievable. And the grad transfer situation, people think maybe they can hold on with that type of thing. But now that everybody's involved in it, that's going to be two tremendous losses for Coach Pearl. Thor is just coming into his own as a player, and he's really going to be very good. He's going to be a pro, I think. Anybody that has a good-looking shot like he does, and when he gets a little more strength that he can get his shot on the dribble, he's going to be a good forward to play in the NBA, I really think so.
Yeah, you can't coach Sharif to be 6'10". So
no, he's going to make it regardless of his size, but I don't know that Sharif's going to. I thought Sharif should stay another year and get stronger. I thought he would be a lottery pick if he did. But evidently the money's so big these days, it's hard to talk anybody out of going.
Yeah, well,
I don't think Bruce Pearl does. I think he tells them if they want to go.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think Auburn's very much been, you know, right there, out front with these guys and keeping tabs on, because every time I see somebody who's in the transfer portal who looks like they might fit with what Bruce Pearl wants. Lo and behold, Auburn's already contacted them, so they're really staying up on it. Sonny, I wanted to get your thoughts on something Dan and I were talking about going into the bottom of the hour break, and that is now with players so quick to jump into the transfer portal, and you see it now, all these Final Four teams have players that started their career somewhere else, and that's with having to sit out. It looks like they're not going to have to sit out. The most likely this month, the NCAA is going to pass that every player at one point in their career can transfer anywhere without having to sit out. But with players able to do that, how do you feel about colleges? It was a big deal just a few years ago when conferences and colleges said, we're offering 4-year scholarships. How do you feel about offering 4-year scholarships when the players can leave any time now?
Well, that's coming, and it's actually been happening more than we think with the people being the grad transfers, right, as like they are. I would say this. I would say they're going to have to start looking at the high school player more and not just taking people out of AAU tournaments and camps. They're going to have to dive into the high school recruiting and watching kids on campus with their teams more. and definitely got to stick with the junior college route. It'll become a lot more popular now, and I don't think they'll miss a beat in recruiting any more than it is right now, but it became more difficult. You're going to spend more time on a road, I'll say that.
Yeah, can you imagine, and that's what I was wondering, your thoughts on the roster management that you have to do now, because it used to be you'd sign a player and you'd feel like, well, we probably are going to be able to keep him, and even if he's really good, we'll keep him for a couple of years before he thinks about going pro. But now it's not just going pro. It's like if they're not getting enough playing time, they'll just go into the transfer portal and expect to play somewhere else next year.
Sure, that's exactly. But between the transfer portal, the G League, and Europe, and NBA basketball, you're going to have a heck of a time keeping anybody that can play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the money talks, and you said loyalty don't mean a heck of a lot when it comes down to the amount of money that they're offering. You know, guys, one of the best players we had here at Auburn was a kid named Mike Jones.
Oh, absolutely.
Mike Jones accumulated $1 million in all in his career in Europe. Of course, he never got home with any of it hardly, but that didn't make any difference. They can really make money over there if they're good like him. Mike couldn't go to the NBA because he failed some drug tests at the NCAA, I think it was. And he had to make his living in Europe, and he made a great living. And what I'm saying here and taking a long time to do it is they pay so well over there now that it's not a breakdown to go there.
No, Sonny, we're just about out of time, man. We ran out of time quickly. We always enjoy spending some time with you. If you don't mind, you know, I mean, there'll still be plenty of basketball and other things that we can talk about. I hope we can continue this even after the Final Four wraps up this weekend. That'd be all right?
Well, it'd be my pleasure, fellas. I enjoy talking with y'all.
All right, Sonny. Well, we really appreciate it again this afternoon. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Coach Sonny Smith joining us. And, yes, we definitely – I mean, there is so much going on. The signing periods will be coming up. Who knows who's going to be staying, going, or what in college basketball.
It seems like between now and the beginning of September, you could have additions or subtractions to your team in college basketball.
Anytime. That's right.
And September will just be when things start to get closer to the start of the season.
They'll settle for at least a portion of the season.
And then players will see where they are on the depth chart, and and then the season will start, and it'll turn back up again.
We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron, ESPN 106.7. Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Final minute of hour number one of The Drive here on this Friday. Our thanks to Sonny Smith for joining us, and you know, great insight, great info, and it's always just fun to talk to Sonny. We're just about out of time for hour number one. We'd love for you to join in hour number two. Give us your thoughts on the Final Four. Your thoughts on Auburn basketball now that we know that Sharif Cooper will not be back.
And how about the win in Fayetteville last night?
Absolutely. Auburn going to win the series, looking to try to win the series tonight, as they'll be playing at 6:30. Jack Owen on the mound for the Tigers after last night's 2-1 win. And anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive. It is the Friday edition. Good Friday. And again, a lot of folks on the road traveling to be with family here for Easter. So be careful if you're out and about, but the weather looks beautiful for Easter weekend. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio.
That's right. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
And hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through, 334-321-321. 1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We're here on the eve of the Final Four.
You think it's Gonzaga-Baylor tomorrow night?
I do think that is the case.
Who do you think is more likely to lose of the two?
Baylor.
Yeah. Because they're not Gonzaga.
Right. I mean, the Zags are, we've talked about it, I mean, they're athletic. I mean, when you describe them as a machine, it makes it sound like they're robot-like and they're not athletic, but that's not true. They're just, they do things so well, and you can tell they have done it together for a while.
Yeah, I mean, no, they function like a well-oiled machine, right? It's not to say that they're stiff and robotic and synthetic. It's that this is this is a team that seldom makes mistakes, especially on the defensive end, and all five players are gifted enough to beat you and score the ball. So it's tough to pick against Baylor. I would lean towards, and I also don't, I mean, I know enough because they're a two seed, but Houston has been something of an under the radar team this year, right? Like, it's
yes,
not as though,
yeah, you're right.
Despite how much they've been winning, like, and I think it's partially because of how good Baylor and Gonzaga have been, that there's been very little discussion about the Houston Cougars throughout the year, and they could change that by beating Baylor on Saturday. I mean, people will have to take notice. They're in the Final Four, so people are already taking some notice, but they have to. I mean, if they can beat Baylor, there's no ignoring what Kelvin Sampson has built in Houston. UCLA, the biggest underdog in the Final Four, I believe, since the tournament expanded. Only two or three times there have been double figure point spreads. It's not terribly common.
And they're 14, 15 point.
They're a 15 point under. I mean, that's like what a 14 or a 15 seed is in the first round. Like, I think that Oral Roberts was probably a 15 or 16 point underdog.
I think that's right.
To Ohio State. Like, that's the sort of number. Colgate was a much closer. Colgate in Arkansas was a single digit line. So, I mean, UCLA, the deck appears to be stacked against the Bruins, but it's worth pointing out, UCLA has been an underdog in four of the five games they've played in the NCAA tournament thus far, and they've won all of them. They were favored over Abilene Christian, but every Michigan State, BYU, Alabama, and Michigan were all favored against UCLA, and UCLA pulled off the upset in all of those games. Now, that's different than playing against Gonzaga. It's not the Zags, but this is a UCLA team that has been defying the odds throughout this NCAA tournament. We'll see if they've got one more huge shocker in them, which is, I think, despite the surprise that UCLA, despite the fact that they had to pull off some upsets to get here, beating Gonzaga tomorrow night would be on a different plane, even from even from the wins over Alabama and Michigan, right? I mean, to beat this Gonzaga team,
oh yes,
would be. I mean, it's a different stratosphere of upset. And look, maybe they can do it, but you know they're gonna Gonzaga's gonna get their money's worth.
Well, like, I mean, what a great story it is, though, to see UCLA get there from the 11th seed, from the play-in game to the Final Four. So, I mean, it's been great, and I don't know why there'd be any pressure on them.
And if you see, and if Gonzaga. Because I understand why they're favored. I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at the teams. But it's there's something almost Shakespearean, right, about if Gonzaga is going to, if this is the year, right, and if they're going to get to the championship game, and if they're going to win this thing for Mark Few after the last 20, 25 years of building there at Gonzaga. It does feel like it should be a program like UCLA standing in their way, right? They should have to go through a no doubt about it. And look, if Michigan had won that game, Michigan would have fit the bill as well. But Gonzaga probably should be going through a traditional power of college basketball in order to, it's a little bit symbolic of Gonzaga trying to break through,
right,
and beat
the winningest team in NCAA tournament history.
And if you want to win a championship for a program like Gonzaga, and if you want to finish off an undefeated season and maybe join the argument for the best college basketball teams ever or the best season anybody's ever had,
I'll go there much more with one of the best seasons ever because of everything leading up. I mean, talking about going through COVID and going through this year, I am a grumpy old guy, but I mean, I'll have to wait a few years before I'm going to jump in and say this Gonzaga team could be the best team ever. When I look at some UCLA teams that had Hall of Famers.
Sure. You go back to Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and teams like that's understandable. I think that's understandable. But how about, cause that's what I was going to ask is if you object to people sort of prematurely talking about this Gonzaga team as one of the great teams in the history of college basketball, who's in that conversation for you? Like what teams come to mind as, cause I'm probably going to go a little bit more recent than you are with this, who the best teams, you know, you've ever seen in college basketball are.
Yeah, because you didn't get to see some of these teams.
Exactly. I didn't get to see the great UCLA teams or
all right, I was just trying to remember some of the players on those UCLA rosters. The 72 UCLA team that went unbeaten. Had Bill Walton, Keith Wilkes, Henry Bibby were three starters who went on and were pretty good in the NBA. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Gail Goodrich played with Lou Alcindor and oh man, I'm trying to remember the guys that all were together. Let's see. I found a website that lists their top 10, and they have, all right. They have 72 UCLA as number one, the 96 Kentucky team with Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty, Tony Delk, Derek Anderson, Ron Mercer, and four other players who made it to the NBA. So how about nine players who played in the NBA?
You know,
is pretty strong.
I got to see the 07 Gators in person, and that is it. I mean, when you bring back all five starters from the national champion and you are better a year later, like and you finish off the repeat by winning the championship again. SEC, I think they're the last. Maybe John Calipari has done it as well. I want to say that Florida team was the last SEC regular season champion, SEC tournament champion, national champion. You know, the last SEC team to do all three of those things. But that, you know, that Billy Donovan 2007 Gators team was unlike anything I've ever seen in college basketball. And there's, I mean, there's quite a few like that. But if Gonzaga, you know, if they can finish up, because it's not just that they're undefeated. It's that they played some of the best teams in the country in the out-of-conference.
Right.
And they steamrolled them. And they haven't played a close game in the NCAA tournament so far. And so, I mean, I'm not as reluctant to start attaching, you know, all-time adjectives to this Gonzaga team. They got to finish the job this weekend, first and foremost. But it is... It's felt like something historic, you know, watching them look like this in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, if they can be, what, first undefeated team since Indiana?
Since Indiana in
76. And, I mean, they'll have their own place in history. You know, again, other people can decide, you know, of these mythical, you know, would this Gonzaga team have beaten 07 Florida or 96 Kentucky or one of those great UCLA teams? I mean, that's all... You know that's impossible to know, but this Gonzaga team will have a place in history if they can do it this weekend, and it would be, you know, it would be a long journey for Mark Few. I mean, you remember when the NCAA tournament was sort of when they would fall apart, right? Gonzaga was the team every year that would come in having, you know, this incredible win loss record and this incredible conference record, and they would flame out,
but they hadn't played the kind of regular season like you said.
They'd face a major conference power, and the difference in talent would be apparent.
Right.
This year's Gonzaga team, there's no team, even Baylor. Like you can pick the most talented Power Five conference team in college basketball and put them on a court with Gonzaga. And it's not like Gonzaga is going to be exposed for being a, you know, for lacking talent. There are superstars on that team, and it's going to be. I mean, of course they're the favorite. You know, could UCLA do it? Yeah, I mean, you got to watch out. But this Gonzaga. I mean, it does feel like something of a coronation for this incredible Gonzaga team, and maybe UCLA or Houston or Baylor can throw a wrench into things.
Yeah. Okay. This team didn't go unbeaten, but I thought, yeah, the 82 North Carolina team with a James Worthy, Sam Perkins, and a freshman by the name of Michael Jordan was pretty talented.
Heard of them.
But excited about the Final Four tomorrow. Basketball news, in case you have been just completely out of touch today. Sharif Cooper will not be returning to Auburn, as he has announced that he is hiring an agent and entering and we're planning on staying in the NBA draft.
Yeah, we talked with Coach Sonny Smith in the last hour about Sharif Cooper's decision, among a lot of other things. And I mean, I thought Coach made a great point about, you know, another thing that has changed economically about college basketball is that it used to be, yeah, maybe you're a lottery pick, and if you're not, you'll stay in college and play another year. But the options for people who don't get taken in the first round, the money that can be earned playing college, you know, playing professional basketball anywhere, for some folks, that's very alluring, as opposed to staying in college and earning your place in the NBA the more conventional way of working until you're a lottery pick and then leaving when you're a lottery pick. I mean, now if you know, I think Sharif Cooper, again, I don't know exactly what he's thinking, but I'm sure Sharif Cooper's thinking, even if he doesn't go in the lottery or even in the first round, the opportunity is there to have a long and fruitful professional basketball career, and you know, I can't really blame these players that want to start it as soon as possible.
Yeah, so
that's not something you can do in your 50s. Like, you got to start it as soon as you can.
Oh no, you're right. One of the things though that we didn't mention in hour number one, if you're going to do it, if Sharif wasn't going to come back, better for Auburn to know right now.
Yes.
I mean, this is much better than waiting. We talked about all the dates and, you know, that players would have had till July 19th to pull out of the NBA draft. Much better to know on April 2nd with the signing period, the next signing period beginning in 12 days, than after everyone else had signed because players might be thinking, well, Sharif might come back and not sign with Auburn.
Yeah, you don't want to be in limbo. You don't want to be sort of waiting to find out what your star player is going to do, because it could paralyze you from doing anything else in the meantime, and that could and then you could end up having you could end up losing that player to the pros and losing any opportunity to replace that player with somebody of comparable skill. So it's, that is certainly something. It was very courteous, right, of Sharif Cooper to make it official as early right. in the process as he did, because now Auburn isn't going to spend that. You take away the doubt, right? You take away the hope that, oh, well maybe, you know, maybe you don't need to make a move because Sharif Cooper will change his mind. I mean, this way you know where you stand, and the coaching staff can go build the roster accordingly.
Right. Bruce Pearl and staff can go out and say, look, we've had three straight one and dones, and you can come in and this spot is open, as opposed to going out and saying, well, he may come back, he may not come back, you can get playing time. You know, it's a lot easier to sell being the man, competing for the job, as opposed to, well, we need another guy who might be a Javon McCormick as opposed to a starter.
Right, and now Auburn, who's coming back from? I mean, of the. I mean, we don't know. We don't know Alan Flanagan.
Guards.
We don't know Alan Flanagan.
No,
says,
we don't.
Do we?
No, we don't.
What would you, if you had to guess, right now? Do you think Flanagan's back next year?
Yes.
3 years ago.
Yes, but that
3 years
not,
ago, you're saying 100%, right?
Well,
four years ago.
How about last year?
Last year.
How about a year ago? I'm saying, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, I'm saying probably. But I mean, it's not there's no way he can't come back, because I've seen him projected as a top 50 player.
Right. And I mean, even Devin Cambridge, who, I mean, I don't know what he would be looking for in his new destination, but
as far as a ball handler, is there anybody that I'm just positive is coming back? I mean, Zepp Jasper. Is my
you know Zepp Jasper's
is my most sure thing as a ball handler on next year's team.
I mean, next year's Auburn team and
Trey Alexander.
I think that the reassuring thing for people, and I don't know how reassuring it's going to be, but the reassuring thing is this is where college basketball is heading, and every team will be in this boat soon enough, or at least of the teams really trying to win year in and year out, they're all going to be in boats like this. In due time, but yes, Auburn seemingly has for a year where, you know, I think there are, you know, there's pressure's not the right word, but there's hope that Auburn can be better than they were this year in conference play. They're going to have to do it with an entirely new roster. They're going to have to do it with, you know, assembling a group of guys out of the portal and out of high school with very, you know, I don't know how much of next year's Auburn's production. I don't know how much of the production Auburn gets next year in men's basketball is going to come from players who are on this year's team.
Yeah, that's
like it doesn't seem like very much right now. I mean, after looking and I mean, Alan Flanagan coming back could change that somewhat.
Oh, yes.
But
mm-hmm.
but Sharif Cooper looking like JT Thor and everyone who's left in the transfer portal, I mean that's a big chunk of what Auburn had on the court this year. And it's not like they're going to replace them with the backups from those players. They're going outside the program to bring in the next crop of frontline players for Auburn.
No, and that's why we were talking about it just last hour that Auburn has been out front, and they're one of the first names mentioned on just about anybody who's in the transfer portal. Auburn has been in touch with them. You'd better be on top of every move that's made when you could have to have possibly as much turnover as Auburn may be looking at.
Right, and it's tough to individually look at any player in the portal and say, well, that's the guy that'll come in and fix Auburn's problems. I mean, the coaching staff is having to sift through a lot of applications, right? A lot of applications for the job right now. But I imagine, again, without knowing for sure, I would imagine that just like there are teams that suddenly have to fill needs when a player makes a decision like the one Sharif Cooper made. There are also players around the country who would like to be who would like to replace Sharif Cooper as Auburn's point guard for Bruce Pearl. So I mean it's going to be a process of figuring out who the next guys are, and they could come from any aspect of college basketball, JUCO, mid major, Power Five, even coming straight out of high school. But yeah, Auburn's going to have some serious work to do as far as figuring out what next year's roster looks like.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Come on in as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 23 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. We've got a full bank of calls, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Slack gets us started. Hey, Slack.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I didn't realize I was, I had became famous on the show.
Oh, yeah? Well, I mean, we've always felt you're famous, but what's brought that to your attention?
I guess it's my point I'm going to try to make. Isn't it amazing we talking basketball? Who would have thought Auburn would have one and done, guys?
No, you're right about that.
A third straight first-round pick, potentially, at Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
Even going back to Chuma Okeke, that was science fiction, right? The idea that you'd have three straight years of the first-round pick.
And the big thing that we're up against right now, if we sign two or three grad transfers, we got to replace more guys next year.
I don't think that's a big concern right now for Bruce and his staff there. I think you better now just be preparing to every year just have the best roster you can.
Exactly. I agree. You know, like you said, if we have one or two more guys leave. So right now we got how many spots we got available now?
Golly, that's a good question. All right.
I've lost count.
They would have been filled after the early signing period, before anybody left. All right, so three left, right?
Three left.
Turbo Jones left, but they needed that scholarship.
That's right.
They did.
Okay, then, so right. Two. All right, so yeah, so they were two down, and now Sharif makes three. If JT Thor leaves, that's four. They've gotten the commitment from Zepp Jasper, so they've got three. They've got two for sure right now, and possibly three. Two for sure with Sharif,
depending on what JT Thor does.
That's what I said. Yeah. JT would give them a third.
And that's also that's also without knowing what Alan Flanagan's going to do.
Right.
Is it any truth to us giving a scholarship to the NCAA as?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's definitely been speculated. So, yeah. So that's why I think it's a good idea to have at least one extra one out there.
Okay. So, you think Walker Kessler is a choice?
I think he definitely is an option. I mean, especially if JT doesn't come back, then sure you need a big that can be a stretch.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything recent about Walker Kessler, but I would imagine, you know, it's just so tough to look at any individual player in the portal and give an update on what he's thinking about doing.
But he's a guy that Auburn was very much in on and, you know, felt like they had a great shot at when he went to Carolina.
Yeah. The point guard from Missouri.
Pinson. Yeah, yeah. I think he's a possibility. Do you jump on him considering there are other guys out there? I don't know. I think he's definitely a possibility.
And you're up against the SEC allowing people to transfer within.
Yeah, but I think the SEC is going to go ahead and go along with the ACC.
Okay. Okay. I heard a name of a girly kid from Furman, a Power Four.
What
the,
now?
The Furman player?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, generally speaking, I think that teams are going to be a little more reluctant. Not out of the question, but if you're a forward in the portal, like we're seeing a lot more guards help teams immediately in the transfer portal rather than size. It seems like teams want to get size out of high school and bring in experience at the guard position. That's not to say that forwards, you know, there's not going to be, a market if a certain forward goes into the portal.
Greg Brown.
Greg, exactly. I mean, there are players who could be out there, and, you know, I wonder if Auburn's going to be looking to add size in the transfer portal, or if they feel like the priority right now is to get better at the perimeter.
Well, the reason I mention this name, and I mentioned it last week, this is a 6'8 guy that scored 16 points and added 6-7 rebounds a game. So if you're going to add a power guy, at least add a guy that can score.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
taking
I agree.
Nothing away from the bigs that we have now, but they're not scoring.
No, you're right. And the thing is, you're going to hear Auburn, like I said a while ago, it seems like every player of note that's entered the portal has said Auburn's contacted them. So that's why it's really difficult to say, hey, they're liable to get this one or that one, because they are keeping in touch with every single one that's out there.
Gotcha. And the possibility of having the young man from Georgia reclassified.
Right. And the five star who was committed to Creighton as well.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Slack. Yeah, I mean, there are just so many possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, it is vast right now as far as what direction this could go and what next year's basketball team could look like. And I just wonder how commonplace it'll be for the Final Four to be, you know, on the horizon, and you have no idea who's going to be on your basketball team next year. Like, I wonder if that's just the way the sport works now.
Appreciate it, Slack. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Brett, you'll be up first when we come back. Did we lose Tommy? Tommy, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We've got a half an hour to go here on the Friday Drive.
Get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Let's see, an hour away from Auburn baseball as the Tigers look to win a series in the SEC. And how about that against a team in Arkansas that was ranked number one in one of the polls? Auburn with a win last night, 2-1.
You feel pretty good about Auburn's chance of getting a win in the next two?
Interesting that Arkansas has gone to a guy who was their closer the last couple of years, and in Zebulon Vermillion. What a great name.
That's right.
Sound like a baseball player, but he's had really good numbers. Last year, and as their closer, did not allow a run. But one thing that's been a little surprising about him this year is he hasn't been striking out a lot of batters. Last year, for his first 3 years of his career, he'd struck out better than a batter an inning. And this year, let's see if I can pull up the stats. Yeah, this year, he's 2-0 with a 3.14, but in 28 and two-thirds innings, he's only struck out 15. And going into conference play, he had walked more than he had struck out. Now he's got 15 strikeouts and 12 walks. So, you know, maybe, you know, we just don't know what to expect from Jack Owen, who's on the mound for the Tigers tonight. But I love the name Zebulon Vermillion.
Yeah, I love when someone's got a first name you've never really come across before, and then followed up with the last name you never really come across before. I know the color.
And then we had, like I said, what a combination of starters for Arkansas today. Softball was Autumn Storms, And baseball is Zebulon Vermillion. It's like, come on. Like Luke just posted to Reggie. Come on. Use a real person. Did you see that?
I did not.
Oh, yeah, because Reggie added Tucapita, whatever.
Marcano, right, and
I've, the Padres.
I think he,
come on, you need to add a real person.
Well, I think Luke hit me with one of those when I tried to add Victor Mesa a couple of years ago, who I believe is still in the Marlins system somewhere.
I believe he is.
Not hearing as much about Victor Mesa these days. But
you hear more about Victor than you do Victor.
Yeah, the Tigers got to.
Serious.
They're both real people. The Tigers, Tigers got to figure out solve the curious case of Zebulon Vermillion tonight, and if they can do that, they could escape Fayetteville with a series win, which is not what people were expecting going into this weekend.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to it. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. Gonna give you a little prediction here. Auburn's gonna sign either Ty Washington, Pimpson, or Scoot Henderson to play for them at point next year, and their number one choice right now would be Ty Washington.
And you know, that doesn't shock me one bit. I don't know that I disagree with that. I would say if they have their way, they might sign two of those, and the other finishes up high school.
Yeah, I've seen where folks say Auburn might get two. If they get two, I'd be shocked. But
I think Auburn gets one of them. I do. I don't disagree with that at all.
I think Xavier Pinson would be pretty surprised if he was one of the two that Auburn signed in that situation, because it seems like he's going somewhere where he can be
right.
A little bit more, used a little more exclusively. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody's forgetting about minutes. And when you start dividing those minutes up, guys like Pinson, all of it, Ty Washington, they're going to want 24 at least. They're going to want at least 24 minutes. But, hey, on Kessler, Bill, I got a good feeling you read the same message board I do.
I read multiple boards.
I'm sure you do. But the guy who goes to practice, a lot of practices, and sits on the court side and posts on one of those boards, said either yesterday or day before, Auburn is feels very good about where they sit with Kessler, and he's not saying he's for sure coming, but they feel like they sit in a very good position for him.
Well, and why wouldn't they? I don't think there's anyone who didn't feel that that Auburn was any lower than second when he went to North Carolina, and a lot of people didn't think that, you know, he was going to go anywhere but Auburn in the first place.
And we just had a caller, Brett, talking about, you know, how Auburn could maybe go and try to bring in some more size, some more forwards from the transfer portal. And I think that a lot of the forwards in the transfer portal are sort of viewed, you know, there's some skepticism about how, you know, why are you leaving if you're 7 foot, you know, if you're seven foot one and you weren't playing at that other place, you know, what makes you think you're going to come and play here or something like that? That's not the case with Walker Kessler. Like this is a 5-star recruit leaving after 1 year. The red flags that you would have with a 7-footer in the transfer portal, you don't necessarily have with a guy leaving on the circumstances that Walker Kessler is leaving. And I imagine, wherever he goes, it's going to be a place trying to win championships, and Auburn could be in that mix.
And last thing on him, you know, some folks, especially some of the national folks, are out there saying that Gonzaga's the leader. Uh-huh. I don't know if that's just speculation. However, if you look at it, it doesn't appear Timmy's going anywhere. I mean, he's not a lottery pick, even a first-round draft pick. They got a 6'8 power forward who plays 19 and a half minutes a game. They signed the number 52 player in the nation who's 6'8. It appears everybody and their brother have Holmgren locked in to Gonzaga. And they also had a redshirt freshman this year, 7-footer, who's very athletic, who also played, you know, played some minutes. So, there's not a whole lot of minutes there at the 4 and the 5 if all those people are there.
No, they're Gonzaga's priority, I think, is trying to figure out what they're going to do at the 1 and the 2 next year, which is why you've heard their name mentioned with Ty Washington, and they were linked to Justin Powell when he went into the transfer portal. He was one of the schools that has reportedly reached out to Justin Powell.
Well, Dan, Gonzaga got Hunter Salas this week. He's top 10 player. Yeah. Be playing the guard. So Gonzaga's going to be fine.
Yeah, you're right.
They'll be more talented than everyone else in that league combined.
But, yeah. Let's see. Oh, and the last thing about the 13 scholarships. Bill, I think about 2 weeks ago, maybe I didn't say it right, but I believe I heard Pearl in his press conference say that Auburn actually forfeited one scholarship this past year.
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah, so basically, you know, if they do one or two this coming year, they're not going to be hit. If they get hit with two a year for 2 years, there's really not much to that, is there?
Nah, you hope that pretty much everything's behind them. But, yes, he had said that before. And if you count them up, yeah, Auburn was not over 12 this past year.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Brett. Have a good weekend. 334-321-1390.
We're talking about Walker Kessler, so I want to throw this out there, too, because I saw the story earlier today, and I was sort of surprised that I think Dan Wolken was out in front on the story that and you don't want to put too much into this, but maybe people close to Roy Williams are telling reporters that Walker Kessler's decision to transfer
had something to do with it.
May have been the last straw for Roy Williams in his decision to retire from college basketball and walk away from North Carolina, losing out on a five-star forward after 1 year at UNC.
Well, that's sort of what we were talking about with Sonny Smith, having to deal with roster management and thinking, you know, developing players, things like that. Players don't have the patience, don't want to wait their turn. They feel like their turn is now.
And the tweet I'm talking about earlier today, Dan Wolken from USA Today tweeted out, quote, "Someone who knows Roy Williams just told me there had been no definitive plan to retire now, but that he has been increasingly fed up with the direction of college basketball," mm-hmm, "and that the Walker Kessler transfer was the," quote, "nail in the coffin," unquote. That's the tweet, wow, from Dan Wolken earlier today.
That's something. But it's not shocking when you look at, here's a 70-year-old whose things have been a certain way. Obviously, the game has changed, you know, in the 50 years that he's been involved in coaching, but not as drastically as it has right, you know, recently here in the last year.
Right, and he's, I mean, we're talking about Walker Kessler, so seeing the news that maybe that was, you know, a big part of Roy Williams deciding to walk away, I thought was noteworthy.
Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and I believe Tommy's back with us. Hey, Tommy.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Probably I'm the only person that doesn't know this, but how do you get the information of the portal? I mean, you go to the NCAA website and can see the basketball people who are in the portal and football players in the portal.
You know,
where is the portal?
The best place to find the information, colleges get the information, but the general public doesn't have all the access that colleges do. The colleges do. 24/7 has done a great job of keeping up with players in the portal, players that have left schools, will have where they're headed, or you know, schools that they're listed with. So if you go to 247.247sports.com, or if you go to autigers.com, you can then go to 24. I know that's where I usually find that info, is I can go in there, and under college basketball, you'll find the portal. You can Google NCAA transfer portal, and that's the first site that usually comes up for me. There are others that try to keep up with it, but they seem to have a more complete list of players that are in the portal.
Okay, thanks. But also, you know, it does give coaches like Coach Pearl an opportunity to go after some of these players. I mean, he's done a great job of getting Okiki and Chuma in here and other players, so this just kind of opens up a new pool of athletes for him to go after.
Oh, and I would imagine if you believe your program to be a place where athletes want to be, if you believe that you've got a coach that great players want to play for, it's different, but I'm not necessarily sure college basketball is worse under the new system. It's certainly different, but I mean, yeah, we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bruce Pearl saw this as an opportunity rather than something to sort of kneecap his ability to field a good team.
Yeah, I agree. When Justin Powell went in the portal, it was kind of a downer. But then you start thinking about it, it's like, well, Pearl will probably go get somebody else. So.
Oh yeah, and again, all right. I just went to a different browser, googled NCAA transfer portal, and the 24/7 one did pop up. So 247sports.com, and they have a very lengthy list of 2021 college basketball transfer portal with players by their ranking when they signed, their former school, and their destination or. Write-ups about
and
them.
It exists as a reason. I mean, it originally was sort of conceived as a way to prevent tampering. You would have a right. player notify the NCAA that he wishes to transfer. That player's name would appear on a list that every school could access, and then coaches were allowed to start contacting that player once his name appeared on the list. And the list isn't available to the public, but when names appear on it, it gets leaked to the public, and we find out or players announce themselves that they're going into the transfer portal. So it's really more organizational than anything else. But it seems to making it that much easier to transfer to a different place has to be recruited by different schools has really sort of opened up the amount of roster turnover you see year to year in college basketball.
Okay, thanks. I love your show. Listen every day.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Thanks for calling and listening.
Great hearing from you.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. And yes, we welcome your calls. Man, there is, I don't know how many are on their list. Of course, Jason was telling us it's over 1,000 D1 players. So yes, the guard list is very, very long, as I was going down it. I mean, I was just going to see where, for example, you know, Justin Powell was not, I mean, he wasn't nothing. He was a top. He was a top 150, top 200 player.
By the way, it's interesting. I mentioned Justin Powell. Have you heard the rumors?
Have you heard the Powell
and Kessler rumor?
No.
So there are some people who believe that because Walker, Kessler, and Justin Powell were AAU teammates and remain close friends, that they might be looking to play at the same school. I know that's been a topic of discussion around
Kentucky.
Well,
that doesn't sound like good news for Auburn.
But that was a topic of discussion around Kentucky.
A topic of discussion at Kentucky.
Yeah, could Kessler and Powell be a package deal who are going to the same place? Now, I don't know if anybody has confirmed that with Walker or with Justin, but that is... That's an interesting thing to think about is that these two guys, you know, longtime friends and AAU teammates might want to unite. And you're right. That's not great news for Auburn with Justin Powell in the transfer portal. But that's that's something else that may be in play and has gotten some run, certainly in Kentucky circles is the possibility that Kessler and Powell could end up at the same school.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'll get to our final break, so we've still got time for a call or two when we come back to wind it down here on the Friday Drive.
You're live on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of The Drive here on this Friday. Bill and Dan with you for a few more minutes. Again, Easter weekend, and it looks like a beautiful weekend. It is great when you have just beautiful weather, the azaleas in bloom. I know pollen drives some people crazy and everything, but yes, looks like it's going to be a beautiful Easter weekend. Hope everybody has a safe weekend. Because a lot of folks are on the road this weekend. We've got a few minutes left here on the Friday Drive. So I don't think either of us, I mean, I know you're pulling, and I'm not saying a lot of folks aren't pulling for at least one upset in the Final Four.
But it's not like when they played Alabama, though.
No.
It's not quite the same thing.
I thought that was doable. I wouldn't have put anything on it, but I thought it was doable. I think it's much less likely.
Well, they're a crazy underdog, not just in the point spread. I want to say it's like 7-1 just to win. Mm. Like UCLA is a huge underdog tomorrow night, and understandably so when you look at these two teams. I mean, could they do it? Sure, they've been defying the odds all NCAA tournament. They've been an underdog in 4 of the 5 games they've won in this NCAA tournament so far. But this is a different game. This is a different animal when you're talking about this Gonzaga team. Even compared to Michigan, like even compared to Michigan and Alabama and these great teams that UCLA had to get through to get this far, like they're great teams, but they're not Gonzaga great. Like it's a little bit different. And so,
and I'm really not sure. I mean, and Sonny Smith was talking about this, that yes, everyone has felt the two best teams in the country all year have been Gonzaga and Baylor, but there's never been any doubt about the best team in the country all year, and it's been the Zags.
And I'd feel more than a little bit guilty, too, as a UCLA fan, because if the Bruins win tomorrow, the two most crushing losses in Gonzaga basketball history are both to UCLA.
That is true.
I mean, the 2006 Adam Morrison team that lost to the Bruins in a game where they had a 17-point lead and fell apart in the final. And you can go back and watch that game. When we say they fell, that is as inexplicable a blown lead as you'll find in college basketball, the way the Adam Morrison Gonzaga Bulldogs 15 years ago were eliminated by UCLA. And now you've got a Gonzaga team that could be the best team in, have one of the great seasons in college basketball history.
It appears to be their best team ever.
Sure. And for that to end at the hands of UCLA in the Final Four would be, as a 15
John
point.
John Wooden would be smiling.
As a 15 yes. point. Oh, the Wizards. Yeah. The Wizards of Westwood would need to, I mean, that's some serious magic that they would have to conjure up. But it's, it'd be too much to bear it could happen with UCLA and Gonzaga tomorrow night, but I'm not to get too sappy about it. I'm just happy there's a Final Four.
Kidding. I mean, you're not
it's
kidding.
Been 2 years.
Speaking of Final Four, the women's Final Four is going on right now, and there's about 3 minutes to go in the first half in the battle of one seeds. Stanford leading South Carolina 26-22.
UConn a Gonzaga sized favorite in the second game between Arizona and UConn. So this game, South Carolina and Stanford seemingly.
Yeah, so big a favorite that Arizona wasn't even featured in the in the NCAA
team not pictured. You know, they cut to insert Arizona picture or something.
That's pretty bad.
Serious disrespect. But UConn looking well on their way to what is it? Championship number 38 for Gino. Something like
Vermillion.
That. Yeah, we'll ask Joe Champy about that sometime. Since who by the way, trivia fact, Joe Champy's last game as Auburn's coach was against UConn in the NCAA tournament. That was the I think that was the Diana Taurasi UConn team in 2004 that eliminated Auburn en route to that was one of many. Yeah, that was back when Gino was in just double digits with the number of championships he's got. So that's a lot of basketball this weekend.
South Carolina hits a three. It's a 1-point game with 2 minutes to go in the first half.
Watch out.
Lot for us to talk about on Monday, man. There'll be Auburn football coaches that get back to practice. We'll have the championship game coming up.
We'll know what happened in the Auburn Arkansas series.
Yeah,
in
no
Fayetteville.
Kidding. That's what we said. A lot. So enjoy your weekend. We look forward to talking to you on Monday. Have a great Easter weekend, everybody. We are out of here.